You are listening to Upside Down Trodden, turning power inside out never sounded so good. I am Scott Mullen, and with me, as always, is Sean Namini.
That's right, Scott. And let me start us out here by saying...
With bad news? Four shows in a row?
No.
Okay, all right, I owe myself $3.
Where's my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man?
We can all normally thank you for your dedication to justice and fighting injustice around the world. And this time I have to personally thank you because you felt that there was an injustice and you fought for me and it allowed me and my family to be able to enjoy a wonderful time in Lake Tahoe.
I'm just seeing your check-in now. I'm just reading. This is news to me too, listener. You didn't have to say that. That's nice.
That won't be necessary.
No, it's because it wasn't necessarily about you, your family, or you or me. It was about justice. And that's one thing that I admire about you. You cannot, I will not. And my wife shares this too. It's just like the injustice is just, it just irks you and you have to fight it.
No justice, no peace.
Well, you're welcome. And yeah, you're right. And that's why, you and I didn't get married. You married your wife, but your wife and I are awesome people. So, deal with it. I got this. Speaking of, you had a wonderful, relaxing time at a condo by a lake, and
well,
I had
my kids were there, so no.
Oh well, okay, yeah.
Big asterisk.
Yes, I did. Yes.
I had a wonderful relaxing time getting locked into, and then out of, our house.
That sounds like fun.
Actually,
hold on, wait. First of all, just getting locked into is kind of crazy.
But... This was not fun. This is like a bad sitcom, but it was like real. It's like at the end of like the shit you see on like network sitcoms. Like they're not even funny, by the way. They're not even situation. They're not funny. But you're like, that would never happen. That's just so stupid. Just, like this is like exactly some mainstream like Tim Allen shit that was just like, are you kidding me?
It's not believable.
Like I was sound asleep, and my wife is trying to leave for work, and it's like, and I'm like, what the hell? Kind of like pulling out of my, I was in REM. I was like way down there. She comes up and she's like, I've been trying to get out of the house for 5 minutes. Like, what the hell is going on? And I was like asleep and angry. I was so angry, and then I have to, I'm like, I don't know if I'm dreaming. I can't process. I haven't, where am I? And I still,
what?
I just couldn't get over the, I need to sleep. I need my sleep. There's so many things I was fighting. But then I get down to the door. It's like, you have one of those like metal glass sort of screen things in front of a traditional door. Some houses have that.
Yeah. Safety door.
Oh, is that what they? Well, yeah. We'll keep you inside at all times, whether you want to be or not.
From the outside.
Yeah. Very popular in Portland. But the thing, just the handle. Just stopped working with the lock in it. I stuck in there, and I put my beast mode strength into it. I didn't even care. We were renting, for fuck's sake. I was like, nothing. And then I like, okay, let me try some, some finesse. Go easy. Let me just sort of like look at the problem. And all the while, I'm like,
jiggle.
Still dreaming and still sleeping, and then I'm sweating. I'm getting up. Whatever. I burn like, five more minutes on that, and we're sitting here trying to noodle this through because it's like complicated the way that you have to go to the back door. We have the gate, the one gate out, and that gate is locked at all times, so nobody comes to fuck with the dogs. And I'm like, okay, hold on, I'm the only one that has the key. It's in the wait. Where's the key for the just like not prepared for this? There's a way out here in the basement, and I go downstairs. Let's just let you out of the basement. We'll go this way. The door doesn't open in the basement. All of a sudden, double locked inside. My wife will attest. I know you think I'm making this up. I'm not.
The house wants you to stay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a little creepy down here. In 1903, like I said, I mean, some shit happened down here. I mean, I'm not...
And up there and everywhere. The house, you must stay.
God knows. It's like Spielberg's Poltergeist. What's going to crawl out of the floor here?
Hey, this is Rip Taylor.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner sooner or later gotta cut you down.
UpsideDowntron.com. That's the website. Go check it out. UpsideDowntron@gmail.com. That's how you email us. The community bulletin board /blog. Go there when you're on the site and feel free to visit. Let us know what you're thinking. Share some comments. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, the gear page, still right now. You can select the super cool responsibly made t-shirt of your choice. And in the checkout process, put promo code SPRING. And when you do, your shirt will spring from the factory direct to your doorstep for free shipping. Of course, that's right, free shipping. The cost to ship the shirt is on us. And you can thank Sean for that. What else? iTunes, you know we're there. Hit the subscribe button. KBOO, we're on KBOO.
No big deal.
It's not a big deal. Just go to kboo.fm/UpsideDowntron. You can hear a little bit about what we do over there. And they're a fantastic radio station, by the way. And, of course, The Politicus. We love to talk about Damon Cherry and his awesome site blog. Action Committee. What I don't know. They might be like the superheroes. What's it? The Marvel Shield. Like they front as like a political blog, but I think like secretly they're all like superheroes. I don't know.
And our relationship is only getting better with them.
It really is. Well, it helps when you've got a superhero in an editor in chief, Damon. Actually, this particular show's little tidbit that I want to share is I think Damon actually did it. Damon, are you the Politicus? Is that your handle? I think it is. I think I totally snuffed it out in here. But, I mean, this is the thing that's cool about them. I mean, you can actually blog. So just check out thepoliticus.com. Hit the Join Us tab. Set up your account. Start writing your own original content today. Damon will thank you. I'll thank you. Sean will thank you, too. But check this out. Considering what we're going to be talking about in a moment here, if we can actually get to it, if I can stop bitching. okay, so I don't know if you saw this, but Donald Trump has kids. They're all awful. But Eric Trump was on Fox News, Fox so-called news, and talking about how, like, you know, his dad would do a good job keeping the country safe, whatever else. So Damon, I'm assuming it's Damon, decided to do this petition, right? So if Eric Trump agrees to get waterboarded and goes through with it on live TV, Damon's going to donate $10 to his favorite charity.
I will sign that.
Will sign it, too. It's pretty dang great. Because Eric Trump was on Fox the other day, quote, "And then somebody complains when a terrorist gets waterboarded, which quite frankly is no different than what happens on college campuses and frat houses today," he continued. "You know that man will keep this country safe." And of course he's referring to his father. I don't know that, to tell you the truth. And what does safe mean? Safe for who? From what? From where? Anyway, I would love to, you know what, and that's nice of Damon to want to give $10, but Sean, frankly, I'll just pay flat out. I'll pay to waterboard him. I'll do it myself. Forget the contest.
I'd pay to watch it. I'd pay to see it.
Yeah.
That's really what the $10 is for.
Side note real quick, we're going to Tangent Town super fast. Daniel Tosh, not a friend of the show, but I wish he would be. Very funny, and he's got a funny buddy, Todd Glass. They do little bits on his show every once in a while. So he waterboarded Todd Glass with lemonade. He's like, I think it just softens it a little bit. if it's lemonade, does it? And Todd tapped out super fast. It's not funny, which is why we should waterboard a Trump. Sean, what say you?
I say, I would pay $10 for that. That's what I would pay, $20 to see him brag like that and then get his comeuppance.
So we really put our money where our mouth is.
So wait a minute. So you got 20, I got 10. Hell, I'll double it. There's 40 right there, Damon. Are we getting... the kid's got a gazillion dollars. But you know what? It's the principle, goddammit. Drinkforgood.com. Speaking of principle, they're principled. They do awesome job selling cause bottles and cool apparel. Proceeds from each sale benefit a different charity of your choosing. And since they are the sponsor of our show, when you support Drink for Good, you're also supporting us. Thanks so much. And we know you want to get in on the action right now. So go to drinkforgood.com, select your cause bottles and other awesome items. And when you're done shopping, enter the promo code SAVE15 during step 2 of checkout. You will save 15% off your order. Sean, I have a just worthy charity cause endeavor I want to share for you. And I guess we're letting the cat out of the bag about what we're going to talk about.
Let that cat out.
Hedaya.ae. I'm not talking about Dan Hedaya. Good actor. Character actor. Been in everything and then some. I think it was the dad in Night at the Roxbury, among other stuff. Anyway, Hedaya. Let me just tell you a little bit about Hedaya. It was established to serve as the premier international institution for dialogue and communications, capacity building programs, and research and analysis to counter violent extremism. in all of its forms and manifestations, in support of long-term global efforts to prevent and counter terrorism. The goals: to be the premier global institution for enterprise and experience in countering violent extremism in all its forms, to reduce the number of terrorist group supporters through non-coercive means, to serve as a resource for governments and civil society, to create a global network of CVE experts and practitioners, of course, CVE meaning common vulnerabilities and exposures. I thought this was good. I mean, there's a group of people out there. And I vetted them, you know, put them through the Scott 4000 researcher.
You would.
And I would. And you know, I'm sure there's somebody out there. Oh, those people are douchebags. You know, but at least in my initial round of research, I was like, okay, you know what? Some people say the IMF has got a bias. And yes, they do. Some people say the World Bank isn't the friend that you think it is. And they're correct. So this was an institution that's out there that's legitimately, in the heart of it, trying to find ways to resolve crises. And there are plenty of them out there, and they're very complicated, and we are intertwined, as we're going to find out later on the show, listener. But I thought that was interesting, Sean. There is a place that you can go to, and you can actually hit them up, reach out to them, contact them, and find ways to support them if you're interested, if you're concerned about what is it that we're talking about this show? Terrorism.
And I think we'll start tonight by looking at what the FBI has to say about definitions and styles and types of terrorism. So in the U.S. Code, that they define international terrorism and domestic terrorism for purposes of Chapter 113B of the Code entitled Terrorism. So they say international terrorism means activities with the following three characteristics: involve violent acts or acts dangerous to human life that violate federal or state law, appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping, and occur primarily outside the United States. Okay, so that's international terrorism, as defined by us. Domestic terrorism means activities with the following three characteristics, according to the FBI. Involved acts dangerous to human life that violate federal or state law. Whose law? Appear intended to intimidate or coerce the civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. So it's basically the same one. And they occur primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States.
Right, right.
Now, I think they are incomplete, because what we have to add to this is a term, and I think they're incomplete in their definition, probably because old Uncle Sam is watching what they're doing. But they left out a definition of the most pervasive and common form of terrorism in the world today: global terrorism. And currently there are only two groups engaging in global terror on a mass scale: the United States and ISIS, or ISIL, or Daesh, or whatever you want to call them. Both groups wish to send the same message to the rest of the world: disagree with us and we will destroy you.
Wow, so there's like cheesy, you know, sci-fi shows of the 70s, early 80s that join us or die.
That's right.
Like, it's kind of like the mantra.
Yeah. That's right. So the problem of global terrorism is going to require a global solution. What do you say, Scott? Are we up for it?
I wrote a little extra copy there for you. Here's my answer. Sean, you read my answer. You know I'm tired.
Phoning it in. Hell yeah, Scott's ready. He wants to call this shit what it is: scare-rism.
Scarerism. They're trying to scare you with it. It's not terror. They want to scare. It doesn't. It's stupid. I just think I'm like, it should be scarerism. Like, we, ooh, terrorism. Ooh, you know.
Yeah. Well, are you scared?
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not scared of what they would like me to be scared of. I'm scared of some other shit that is involved with terrorism, but not necessarily brown people. So, all right. I know. If it's all right, Russo, Chomsky, Jensen, take a shot. Deal with it. Noam Chomsky said everyone's worried about stopping terrorism. Well, there's a really easy way. Stop participating in it. Pretty brilliant and pretty simple, but it's brilliant because it's true. By now, a feature to America's never-ending war of, I mean, on terror that everybody's heard of is the abuse, I mean, use of drones. Hell, the band Muse wrote a whole album about it, so you know what I'm talking about, and I'll just tell you this right now, to Noam Chomsky's point, all right, you don't have to try very hard. I literally was just like, let me just see what comes up with it, and like, there, I was like, shooting fish in a barrel on this one. First thing to come up from The Guardian, that rag, British, right? Obama's drone war, a recruitment tool for ISIS. And who would say that? Probably some leftist, crazy Chomskyan sort of, says U.S. Air Force. Well, at least the whistleblowers. And those are the people that actually saw it happen and said, hey, that's not right. Oh, well, then we must treat you as an enemy of the state. And we must discredit you and smear you and, in some cases, well, if you're Jeffrey Sterling, throw you in jail. But anyway, the point I'm making is, and the point that they're making is, that's Noam Chomsky's point. Stop participating in it. So Obama has a drone war. Okay, I mean, you thought Bush was bad
and,
with the drones.
And not just him, and the next president will as well. And
Well, we hope not. I mean, is somebody going to stop this shit? Because that's the whole point. Stop participating in it. Obama has ramped it up.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, and it's like, it's taking this whole entire insane world of fear and violence and death and destruction to a whole new level. It's like, it literally is a video game. It's a video game. But unfortunately, there's no reset button for the people that get blown away, that are completely innocent. And well, and here's the other thing, too. What about the people that get blown away? Period. You know, and innocent to whom? And innocent for what?
Right.
And
right.
And Sean and I talked about, there's a lot of, you know, like those Reuters reporters that were gunned down. You know, the only reason we know about that is because Chelsea Manning leaked it. You know, you mean that's the only time that's ever happened by accident? And I know that that was a helicopter gunfire, and we're starting to talk about drones. But the point is, you're participating. You are activating the problem. So if you're concerned about it, why are you feeding it?
And by proxy, why are we feeding it? Because if we came en masse to Washington, D.C., to all of our representatives and said enough is enough, then they would have no choice but to change. But we're not, and so they won't.
Well, that's great.
That's great! That's just great!
Oh.
So what about, speaking of droning on... what about in the media? You know, the media perpetuates.
Oh, listen, I'm tired, but that was awful. That was just. Can we give the man one more rim shot? Thank you. All right, because that. I mean, honestly, that was a double bad. Oh God.
I'm the Segway king, and sometimes Segway kings have issues with Segways.
You're telling me.
So the media is very complicit in this role of how we view terrorism, how we digest it, what we do about it. And we've mentioned this before, but I wanted to revisit from the dailybeast.com. Are all terrorists Muslims? It's not even close. Now, that's a bold claim. And so, you know, you hear this claim all the time. Not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims.
And Ann Coulter, is that, did she chime in? Are we,
or anyone
did
on
we patch
Fox?
Her through?
But the author says, so here are some statistics for those interested. Let's start with Europe. Want to guess what percent of the terrorist attacks there were committed by Muslims over the past 5 years?
It's got to be like 97.
Unless you said less than 2%, you would be wrong.
Sorry.
Less than 2%. There, in 2013, there were 152 terror attacks in Europe. Only two of them were religiously motivated, while 84 were predicated upon ethno-nationalist or separatist beliefs. So this is really what a lot of it boils down to. It's not always religious. Are these Muslims, are they, yes, they are selling a religious message, but they also want territory. It's a separatist thing. They want to take some from Syria, where this asshole rules, and they want to take some from Iraq, where the assholes from America replaced an asshole that we helped stay in power for a long time.
Right.
And they want their own territory. That's not just religious. That's separatist. That's ethno-nationalist. So it's not so complex as, well, they call themselves Muslims, and that's a religion, so they're religious terrorists. It's not about that. And even beyond that, most of these are not Muslims anyway. We're talking about Basque in France. We're talking about FLNC and in France and in Greece, the revolutionary forces. We're talking about all these different places where there are terrorist attacks, but for non-religious reasons. And they're not Muslims. Anything to say before I just move on with a couple more points from this?
No, you're doing great. Just wake me up. I'm kidding. This is actually very interesting to me. It's very interesting, I remember Bush when he invaded Iraq. He didn't understand. He thought that Muslim. Oh, everyone's a Muslim. He didn't know there was the difference between a Sunni and a Shia. It was just like this. What? You know, and that's just
go to
two
war, boss.
Yeah, and they're very, you know, they have different culture, different beliefs, you know, and then the Kurds in the north, and then the idea that brown people can be different. Yeah, they are. They're completely different. And the idea that maybe if someone's going to commit an act of terror based on the definition that Sean gave you earlier in the show, that maybe that person, could they actually potentially be not a Muslim? Yes, the majority of the time, vast majority of the time, they're not a Muslim.
So they have some more facts that if they're surprising to you, then the propaganda is working. And so a 2014 study by the University of North Carolina found since the 9/11 attacks, Muslim-linked terrorism has claimed the lives of 37 Americans. In that same time period, more than 190,000 Americans were murdered.
By Muslims! It's the Muslims that are doing it! No?
In 2013, wait. More...
Are the police Muslim? Because that would make sense. Because they've killed a lot of people.
Sure. In 2013, it was actually more likely Americans would be killed by a toddler than a terrorist. In that year, Americans were killed in the Boston Marathon bombing. Mm-hmm. How many people died? How many people did toddlers kill in 2013? Five, all by accidentally shooting a gun. So they talk about more things. Falling refrigerators killed more people in the same year. And it's. You know, it's not just to sound silly. It's to highlight again the fact that the facts are not always what we believe, and what we believe is not always based on fact. And we better think twice.
Yeah, you've got a better chance of dying in some crumbling infrastructure in this country than you do being killed by Muslim terrorists.
That's right.
Whether it's a bridge or a building or what have you. Anyway, don't take my word for it. Just look at the fucking numbers. You know, and something else. Okay, and I know you touched on it again. Again, Sean and I don't really, we don't talk too much about the show.
We coordinate. We're like a 504 and a candidate.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes I do my homework and sometimes I look at stuff ahead of time. Normally I'm just like, just wing it, you know, because honestly, I like to phone it in.
Phoning it in. Wait a second. You're winging it too?
I'm just sort of winging it.
I thought I was winging it.
It is hard to believe the show is not prime time.
Okay. All right, here's the thing though. You did touch on domestic terrorism, because you're given different definitions, you know, and the one that was, you know, very conveniently omitted was global terrorism. But like, I'm glad you talked about that, because take, for instance, only a few months back, if you remember the wonderful, beautiful, White Christmas about in Colorado Springs, when that crazy nut job Robert Deere decided to go to a Planned Parenthood and start killing people and shout, "No more baby parts," because he was totally, you know, a normal guy. But this is the thing. You know, is that then that's kind of what you hear a lot. Wait, white man in America, on American soil, going to a Planned Parenthood. With no surprise, by the way, because there is a certain group of people in this country that love to stir that up and get people all riled up. Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful.
For political
because,
purposes.
Because, you know, like, listen, I'm unstable, but I'm not that kind of unstable. I'm not going to hear, like, Rush Limbaugh start talking about Planned Parenthood or some shit like that and then go, I'm going to go kill them. I'm not nuts like that. But unfortunately, a lot of the people that do listen to Rush Limbaugh, you know, some of them may be not totally put together right or a little hooked up a little bit differently. And they're like, you know, very open to suggestions of things to do with guns against, I don't know, doctors, you know, at Planned Parenthood or Jews or whomever, you know, gays, whomever we're supposed to hate that particular moment. But this was from Think Progress. This was interesting. Talking about the attack on Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs, which left 3 people dead, 9 more wounded. Information about the suspect's anti-abortion ideology quickly emerged. According to recent reports, the man arrested in the killings, that's Robert Deere, Robert O. Deere, as I call him, asked for directions to the clinic on the day. Can I get a second one? Yeah. All right, it's this guy, thank you. It's fair is fair. You know, I'm an equal opportunity cheeseball.
That was good.
He wanted directions to the clinic on the day of the shooting and told investigators no more baby parts, right? Despite evidence to the contrary, here's what's interesting. House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Michael McCaul, Republican from Texas, said on ABC's This Week that he did not believe the shootings constituted terrorism. Quote, "It's, I think, a mental health crisis. I don't think it would fall under quite the definition of domestic terrorism," end quote. He said, though, he noted he would, quote, "leave that to the Justice Department to make that determination." So very, like, convenient. I'm like, but wait a minute. If we're working under any of the definitions that Sean gave, it seems like that's terrorism. But is it because it's a white man in America and because he did something that, I don't know, uber crazy conservatives? Not all conservatives are crazy. I said uber crazy conservatives. would kind of secretly be like, oh, I didn't have the balls to do that, but I'm kind of glad he did.
Yes, I think a lot of people are sitting back licking their chops at the fact that that was done and they didn't have to do it.
Or pass it off as, well, the Lord works in mysterious ways. That is justice. God is a vengeful God, and, you know.
And that's what they
or whatever twisted law. That would be the religious, the twisted religious logic. And I'm not saying all religion's twisted. I'm just saying the twisted religion logic, okay? You know, or you know, yeah, come up and some weird fucked up, you know, rationale for why that's okay. But call it what it is. Is that terrorism?
By the definition that the FBI has, which has jurisdiction over that incident.
I mean, like, they can't, the people, the pundits, the media, the tool sheds of elected officials out there, you know, whomever, they can't jump to using that word fast enough when it's a brown person. And by the way, here or abroad, like in San Bernardino, like, you know, a month after the Planned Parenthood thing, it was like, oh, terrorism. Why? Why? That's also here in these United States of America. That was at a health facility. It wasn't Planned Parenthood, but it was like a hospital, you know, community center for people that are getting mental health care, you know? So why is that terrorism? But then the one before where, like, you know, like, I know, and Sean knows, and listener, yes, you probably know, they're all terrorism. But why is this hard for people? And why is it hard for people that are reporting the news too? Say it. It's terrorism. That's terrorism, isn't it?
Well, they're not going to say that because it goes against the company line.
Oh, shit. Someone's got to make money. You're right. I forgot about the money.
Yes, and that absolutely falls under the title of religious terrorism because they're doing it for religious purposes. There's definitely a pattern there. It's not the first, nor will it be the last, Planned Parenthood or abortion clinic.
Oh, it's awful.
It's a pattern. It's not just single events. And it's not just Planned Parenthood, and it's not just other abortion clinics. It's a pattern towards all of their enemies. So,
right.
Yeah, but I think it's just not global yet, terrorism. It's more domestic terrorism because it's just meant to frighten the people within that jurisdiction, not just people internationally or globally. So that's domestic terrorism, absolutely.
You know, and speaking of America's terrorism problem, and boy, do we have domestic and forisms. America, you have a terrorism problem. No, I don't. I can stop anytime I want. No, you need help. And you do. This is really cool from Mother Jones. They have the, because, you know, America's not going to ever end its war of, I mean, on terror. Here's seven reasons why. And I don't know. I'm very curious. Sean doesn't, you haven't looked at this. I'd love to know your take on this. And thank you, by the way, William Astor, who put this together, Why War is the New Normal. But it's a great article, but I'll just read you the seven reasons why America is not going to kick the habit. Not anytime soon. Number one, privatization of war. Okay. Number two, the embrace of the national security state by both major parties.
It's a big one.
it's a big one. Three. Oh, Sean, I think you heard me actually make this point when we started the Tough Mudder race, because I was pretty fired up. Support our troops as a substitute for thought. And when they said that, right when we started our race with the prayer, by the way, I'm like, I didn't sign up for the prayer breakfast, guys. But anyway, I'm here to support the soldiers, but to question the policy. Just because I support the soldiers doesn't mean I'm not going to question the policy. I can do two things in my brain at the same time, and you should be able to, too. My wife is one of the smartest people I know, and she can watch The Bachelor and, like, still get amazing shit done and have, like, crazy brilliant ideas and what have you. Come on, we can do this. Sorry, I got off on a tangent. Number four, fighting a redacted war, right? War, like the recent Senate torture report, is redacted in America. Its horrors and mistakes are suppressed. Its patriotic whistleblowers are punished, even as the American people are kept in a demobilized state. Blah, 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 blah. I had to read a little bit about that one. But that's a big one, too. How can we possibly get truthy with ourselves if we don't even know what's going on? Number five, threat inflation, right? There's nothing new about threat inflation. We saw plenty of it during the Cold War. Don't get Sean going on the Cold War. Non-existent missile and bomber gaps, for example. Fear sells, and we've had quite a dose of it in the 21st century, from ISIS to Ebola. But a more important truth is that fear is a mind killer, a debate stifler. Right? So if I can get a populace, oh, I don't know, Americans, in a chronic state of fear, not only are they easier to control, I'm actually, like, there is brain activity that gets shut down. That's part of the plan.
Yes.
You can't start to think critically, feel deeply, and ask questions. Trademark. To figure out how to get out of terrorism here and abroad because you're so terrified and your brain's been shut down. Number six. I'm sorry. I said I wouldn't talk about this, but I have to just a little bit. Defining the world as a global battlefield. Everywhere's a battlefield. There's nowhere safe. And everything's up for grabs. And number seven, the new normal in America is war. That's the new normal. And if I can just do it long enough, I will just think that this is just how it's always been.
That's the way we've always done it.
So you like the 9/11 attacks, right? Happened more than 13 years ago, which means that no teenagers in America can truly remember a time when the country was at peace. And you should know this, Sean.
Yes.
You're working with these students. Wartime is their normal. It's traumatic. It's part of the psyche, especially if they identify as it, right? Peace, that's a fairy tale. I read it about it in
right,
a book and stuff.
Right.
I'm dying to hear what you think of first about all of them, and I'll go back and I'll name them again if I have to, but I know you're very studious. But is there anything you want to like jump on with regard to this? Like, do you think they are touching on something here? Because I do.
I would like to touch on the listener taking another shot. What is it? It's Rousseau, Chomsky, and Orwell. And this, look at 1984. So he was off. Okay, so he was off by 31 years.
Idiot.
But 32 years.
Yeah.
But this is exactly what that entire book is about. They're in a perpetuous, they're always at war with somebody, and it's the way that it is, and they just accept it, and they, the way they speak about it, it helps them to accept it. He exaggerates it in the book, just like South Park exaggerates things to get a very salient point across. He exaggerates it where it's like war is peace, but we hear similar things, of course, from the military-industrial complex, and that is that, you know, the best defense is a good offense. What's the difference? It's not so straight up, but there is no difference. And all of those things were in place. People who didn't know any better, control of the media and the message, both political parties. There's really no opposition there because they have accepted it now. That it's all Orwellian. He told us this was going to happen. We were warned, and I was warned about it in high school when I was forced to read that book. Thank you, Mr. Duda.
Did it just go down everybody else's memory hole, Sean? Did they just not pay attention? Does it just in one ear, out the other?
No, it's taught as literature, not prophecy. But read it again. Give it a shot. I read it again recently. Give it a shot.
Read it again before we have our book burnings here in America, once President Trump has decreed such.
Read it again, and you know, I promise you, you will be like, oh my god!
Don't read it late at night next to your loved one when they're trying to get some sleep. If that's how you're,
and
gonna
you
react.
Will be Winston at the end. We will all be Winston. We will not lose. And they want, the message is, we cannot win. We will, they will win always, and that's what we are starting to believe. It's prophecy, people.
Self-fulfilling.
Well, Scott, let's take this opportunity to bring in one of our old segments, shall we?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
And who better to help us to talk about a difficult situation such as terrorism but our old friend, Mr. Civic.
Oh, he's so smart. He knows so much.
So here we have Mr. Civics and terrorism.
Hello, Billy. Say, how is baseball practice going, slugger?
Well, gee, Mr. Civics, I'm having a hard time sleeping these days.
Sorry about the noise, Billy. Your mom and I ran out
because I'm so scared of ISIS. What is ISIS, anyways?
ISIS is a bloodthirsty group of degenerate killers who hate us for our freedoms, Billy.
But why do they hate us for our freedom? Well, that doesn't sound like a real answer, Mr. Civics.
Well, Billy, why is not a question you're supposed to ask?
Oh, like, why are you at my house in the morning sometimes?
Precisely, Billy.
Or, like, why do you always take your coffee cup below your desk and pour something in?
Yes, Billy. Another great example. Look, ISIS are people who only understand death and destruction. So the only way to stop them is with death and destruction.
Have they always hated us?
No, Billy. ISIS didn't exist until 2006, when parts of other groups formed a new group to fight the American invasion of Iraq. They really gained steam in 2011 when the civil war erupted in Syria. Many public beheadings later, we see the only option is to kill them. So you see, Billy, it's really not complicated after all.
Well, but gee, Mr. Civics, If our invasion created ISIS, then wouldn't more military action make the problem worse, not better?
Just full of questions, aren't you, Billy? Look, most people believe that pulling our forces out would only make them stronger.
Well, but what do you believe?
I don't believe in pulling out. I mean, it doesn't matter what I believe. It only matters what Washington, D.C. wants us to believe.
But why would they want us to believe something so silly as they hate us for our freedoms?
Look, Billy, if I answer this question, will you go somewhere else?
Well, sure, but I hope it can help me sleep at night.
Well, we can't have you awake at night now, can we, Billy? Your mom will have more of your special milk soon. You just drink that, especially when I come over, and you don't have to worry. Deal?
Deal.
Well, Billy, Washington, D.C. is run by corporations. Some of the most powerful of these corporations are weapons manufacturers, who are part of what is called the military-industrial complex.
Whoa.
This group of profit-driven psychopaths are invested in death and destruction through global conflict, using the United States military to ensure a steady stream of customers all around the world. By keeping people in a perpetual state of fear using propaganda and scapegoating, we can ensure that an ignorant public will believe idiotic things like, "People hate America for our freedoms."
But that...
Can it, Billy? And listen closely. By propping up military dictators who then need to be removed by the very people who helped them to power, by fueling conflicts like civil wars and religious strife and selling weapons to all sides, by manipulating Congress with legal bribes, by keeping confusing and fraudulent accounting and spending, by leveraging the manufacture of weapons systems in multiple congressional districts in order to keep job loss as a threat to re-election, and by basically being some of the most all-time colossal a-holes the world has ever known, these corporations drain the public funds for their own benefit while purporting to be acting on the public interest. Understand, sport?
Well, I guess so. But now I'm just afraid of the military-industrial complex as I am of ISIS.
Well, Billy, frankly, you should be. But don't worry, champ. Just keep blindly pledging allegiance to the flag and drinking your special milk, and everything will seem all right.
You got it, Mr. Civics, and thanks.
Oh, what fun. Isn't that great, listener? Listener, wake up! Wake up, we're not done!
Never get tired of those two.
I don't either. And you know what? Informative and a little bit above a rat scaling, if you ask me. Poor Billy. He's such an innocent. But you know what? He's getting smarter. I think he's getting on to Mr. Civics here.
Well,
so it's going to be tougher to...
He pays attention.
He does. He's a good student.
He asks questions.
He's a good student. Not like you in school, Sean. All right. Well, let's talk real quick about something here that's very important. With regard to terrorism, body count.
You're bringing me down, man.
Yeah, the show just got fun. America's war of, on terror, body count keeps adding up. Spoiler alert, it's worse than you think. It was worse than I thought. I mean, I'm a Captain Pessimism. It's one of my superpowers.
And you pay attention.
And
so
I do pay attention, and it's pretty bad. So I read, and I would encourage you to read, it's 101 pages, even if you only read like the first 20, that's pretty good. Read the executive summary from the IPPNW, that's the International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War. You know, those haters. but on page 15 of that particular document starts an executive summary, and I don't have time to tell you everything, so I'll just read this. The purpose of the investigation, this is the report that they did, is to provide as realistic an estimate as possible of the total body count in the three main war zones, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Now, we know there's more places where they're doing all sorts of shit, right? You know, Yemen, Syria, what have you.
But we're getting busy all over.
Right, because just like we said earlier, it's a global terror everywhere. It's terrors everywhere, you know.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Yes. But for Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, during 12 years of the start of the war on terrorism, an extensive review has been made of the major studies and data published on the numbers of victims in these countries. So this paper, again, going back to the PSR.org asset paper, the body count paper here, this paper draws on additional information such as reports and statistics on military offensives and examines their completeness and plausibility It applies interpolation to calculate the figures for those periods for which no information is available. And even now, 13, 14 years after the war has begun, there has invasions. Still been, yeah, no equivalent study. So this study is one of the best you can draw exhausted. From at this point. Yeah, it's pretty intensive. So the investigation comes to the conclusion that the war has directly or indirectly killed around 1 million people in Iraq, 220,000 in Afghanistan, and 80,000 in Pakistan. We're a total grand number there of 1.3 million. Not included in this figure are further war zones such as Yemen, like we were just alluding to. The figure is approximately 10 times greater than that of which the public experts, quotes, and decision makers are aware of and propagated by the media and major NGOs, what have you. And this is only a conservative estimate. The total number of deaths in the three countries named above could also be in excess of 2 million, whereas a figure below 1 million is extremely unlikely. Investigations were based on the results of individual studies and data published by UN organizations, government bodies, NGOs. Figures for Afghanistan and Pakistan are only estimates based on the numbers of observed and or reported deaths, passive determination. But in Iraq, however, several representative surveys were also conducted in the context of studies seeking to determine the increase in the mortality rate since the onset of war, and therefore the total death among Iraqis arising from war or occupation and invasion. Although extrapolation of the results of such active determination techniques inevitably causes significant breadth of range, this investigation shows that the data it provides is still far more reliable. Last thing I'll say, decisive for the publishers of this paper is not the exact number of victims, but their order of magnitude.
Yes.
Okay? They believe it crucial from the humanitarian aspect, as well as in the interests of peace, that the public will become aware of the magnitude and that those responsible in governments and parliaments are held accountable. So whether it's 1.3, 1.9, or 970,000, it's not two. And even if it was, and it was started the way it was started, that's a travesty. But it's, you know, 1.3 million times over a travesty.
And what's the normal acceptable margin for error when you're seeking accurate information, whether it's polling or whatever?
I mean, it depends. What, 3 to 5 points. Points. You know,
margin for error, plus or minus three to five points. Right.
Right.
Let's just say that they have a plus or minus of 20%. It's way too fucking many.
Yeah.
It's still way too many.
And way too many for a reason that is completely unnecessary and totally avoidable. Other than I gotta make money, like Mr. Civic said, with this military-industrial complex, it did do very well to make money on this thing, and all the other seven reasons that Mother Jones alluded to earlier.
And all of our representatives in Congress did it because they had faulty information, because they were made to be afraid. All the things that why our war is this part of those seven reasons, and what worked for Orwell, all of those things were well in place to make this happen for profit and. At the cost of so many lives, and that there comes a due for all that. There absolutely comes
let's bring the bill, shall we? What can we do about it, Sean? Because clearly, not a lot's being done. You got millions of people, innocent people, getting whacked. Can we do something? I mean, can listener do something?
We all can, and this comes most recently from Stephen R. Covey, but lots of people had said similar things a long time before, but. It goes something like this: seek first to understand. So if you want to understand what's going on, you have to understand these people. You have to study them. You have to, what are they really asking for? Why are they asking for that? Why do they feel justified in doing what they're doing? And all you have to do is look, and you shouldn't just read the red meat that fuels the anti-Muslim fire, but if you're too lazy or xenophobic to look, then just try this. The Atlantic. .com. The Islamic State is no mere collection of psychopaths. It is a religious group with carefully considered beliefs, among them that is a key agent of the coming apocalypse. Here's what that means for its strategy and for how to stop it. So it looks very deep, and it talks to people who are not crazy. And I hate to give you homework all the time, listener.
Such a teacher.
But read it, all right? So that'll be a favor for you, and you're welcome. Number two, stop being afraid. When you're afraid, you are easy to manipulate, and you are being manipulated, so stop it! Stop it! So stop it! Number three, one word, and then some to follow it to explain why that one word. Anyway, love. And this is probably the hardest one, but it's not an unprecedented one, so listen up, Christians.
Yes, Christians especially that have the moral high ground that claim to be Christ-like. Jesus loved everybody, no exception. Sorry, I don't give a shit. I'm not Christian. I got no dog in the fight. But God damn it.
Pay attention. So when Dylan Roof committed an act of domestic terrorism and killed Ethel Lance and eight other people in a church in South Carolina, the community, and they were following the lead of Lance's family, did something that we did not expect, and they forgave him. I'm all for punishment of people who do horrible things, but if we dwell in this place of anger and vengeance, then we place the focus on the perpetrator, not the victims, and on hate, not love. So Roof wanted to start a race war with his actions. And if the families of these victims had come out with an attitude of vengeance, then there is a really good chance that Roof would have succeeded in starting a race war. So terrorists want to incite terror and aggression. And this is an endless cycle that's led us to this shithole of a civilization that we struggle through every day. So if you want something you've never had, for example, peaceful coexistence, then you have to do something you've never done.
I love that quote. That makes me so happy when I hear that quote. I'll be opening and closing with Benjamin Franklin. Quote, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Work to prevent terrorism wherever, whenever, and however you can. Any undertaking you endeavor now that works to seek understanding. Yes, Sean and I say the same thing sometimes. We don't look at each other's fucking notes. Deal with it. Support education, decrease inequality, and eradicate hunger and poverty will ultimately be an effort to combat terrorism down the road. Guarantee it.
I love that.
Guarantee
I love
it. That. Number two, challenge our elected officials to do the right thing. America's foreign policy is a disaster of monumental proportions and the leading cause of terrorism worldwide. I said it. Sacrilege. No, I'm a fucking
you
patriot.
Bad boy.
It's the truth, goddammit. Someone has to say it. When our elected officials don't listen to us, we need to hold them accountable. Petitions, protests, and primaries are just a few ways to get results in that arena. All beginning with the word P, by the way. Alliteration. yeah, just saying. Challenge your friends and family whenever possible. Sean, I know you do this. I know
challenge.
I do too. We thank God poor listeners doesn't have to listen to us
sparring.
All the time talking about our fucking family.
And
we love each other too. And we love them. And we love
them. We were throwing haymakers the other day, verbal haymakers, but we were.
That's good though. You have to challenge. That's my point. Challenge them. It might be possible to influence them to think differently about terrorism. Get discussions going and engage each other to help exchange and shape ideas, perceptions, and narratives. Challenge also horseshit sites and the people who run them, like Citizen Warrior. Great name, by the way. I was like, oh, what's
fantastic
this?
Name.
Oh, fantastic
Very
name.
Orwellian.
But misguided and counterproductive purpose. I'll just click on it real fast there. I'll give them a free plug. CitizenWarrior.com. Go check them out. Don't take my word for it. Our goal is to oppose Islamization by exposing, marginalizing, and disempowering Orthodox Islam. Citizen Warrior, halt terrorism. Wait a minute. Are we talking about Orthodox Islam or are we talking about terrorism? Interesting how they're one and the same.
Oops,
on this site.
You slipped there.
Yeah, a little bit. And then there's a site here, whatyoucandoaboutislam.com. Are you kidding me?
Yes, no, that is the message. It's Islam that's the problem.
That's it.
It's not terrorism.
Right.
We've gone past that.
I mean, Sean,
Islam is
like,
the problem.
Okay, best articles on the site. I'll just read them off real quick because we got time. The terrifying brilliance of Islam. What educated non-Muslims don't like about Islam, in a nutshell. What we do on the site. I think I know. It's pretty clear at this point.
Misinformed.
How about this? If the majority of Muslims are peace-loving people, do we really have anything to worry about? Tools to help educate your fellow non-Muslims about Islam. What's our game plan?
Oh, that would be fascinating.
There's one I clicked on here, too. Wait, let's see if you can guess it. I'm going to do like six more. Tell me if you can guess which one. How to resist Islamic encroachment and still be happy. What is our goal to the counter-jihad movement? The key to your listener's inability to confront the disturbing truth about Islam. God, they really got it out for Islam.
It's like a religion. It's just
Sean,
like, you know.
Okay, this is the one I couldn't help myself. I had to click. I read the whole thing, and I almost fucking shat myself. Lessons on Jihad from the movie What About Bob? I swear to God, he made he went through the whole. Okay, you know what? No, we got time, and I don't know if it's gonna make the final cut or not. But let me just let me give you just a little
case.
Just in case, okay? I was thinking of writing an article. It's too much like Mr. Civics. I was thinking of writing an article about the infuriating cleverness of Orthodox Muslims, and I was wondering what I could use to illustrate what they're doing. And then it came to me in a flash. The movie What About Bob? First of all, don't fucking destroy one of my favorite Bill Murray movies of all
it's
time,
a great
you
movie.
Asshole. We're claiming it back. That has nothing to do. Nothing. You piece of shit. In the movie, Bill Murray plays a psychiatric patient who drives his psychiatrist crazy. I just watched it again, and the parallels to Orthodox Islam's dealings with the West are amazing. Bob uses the same techniques on Dr. Marvin that Orthodox Muslims use in the United States and Europe, and with similar results. Bob successfully fools everyone except Dr. Marvin, and Dr. Marvin becomes infuriated and help.
Sean, oh my God,
it goes
dude.
On and on. And anyway, citizenwarrior.com, give them some love. Lastly, number three.
Yes, please, read that. Go, and then you'll know.
Protect your civil liberties.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Powers that be will use any opportunity, especially ones afforded them courtesy terrorism, whatever that means, to roll back your rights and freedoms. You must stay vigilant and active to ensure your civil liberties are protected and expanded, even and especially during times when you may be made to believe you should give them up for the sake of security, whatever that means. The deal is no bueno. Don't fall for any tricks. This current form of government and the crazy, bloodthirsty, profit-driven multinational corporations they serve, thank you, Mr. Civics, is not going to keep you safer, whatever that means. Benjamin Franklin said, and allow me to quote him correctly.
He would appreciate that.
Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. I couldn't have said it better myself, which is why I didn't. Sean, a win? Can we have one? Terrorism's bringing me down, man.
Yes, I think we all could use a little win.
Oh, I saw this movie last weekend. I'm a little biased. It was really good. But anyway, this is the win. Okay, from filmmaker Michael Moore. He wrote a letter to high school students of America. His film came out not so long ago, a month or so ago.
Joke's on him, they can't read.
Well, that might be true. But the ones that can,
I hope he dumbed it down.
I hope you read it too. High school students of America, this is Michael Moore talking. Imagine a place where you don't have to do any homework. And you don't have to take those ridiculous standardized tests. Or how about a place where your public school lunch is a luxurious four-course meal that you have the time to enjoy each day. Imagine a country where all college is free and it's impossible to find anyone who has a student loan to pay off. Can you believe there's actually a place where teenagers can easily get birth control with no parental permission? And that when it comes to getting free health services, there's no issue because even as a teen, the society respects that only you should have control over your own body? Imagine a world where no hall passes are required to go to the bathroom, where school is not an assembly line, and it doesn't start at 8 in the friggin' morning. And what if, on top of this, you could vote at the age of 16 and have a real say in your future? Well, a place exists. It exists in many countries all over the world. In fact, in every advanced industrialized country, one or more of the above is already happening every single day. But not here in the USA.
Bum, bum, ba-dum.
So I've made this movie about all these places, a movie that will take you to the raucous, hilarious ride through the great life that they're having and we're not. It's called Where to Invade Next, okay?
That's a nice title.
It's very creative, yeah. And I thought the title is very apropos for the episode, but of course the content's, you know. But you know, hey, anyway, he said, there's just one problem. The movie's rated R. Now, you might be asking yourself, why did the American Ratings Board, the MPAA, give my film an R rating? Well, maybe it has something to do with all the things that I've just listed above. Some people would prefer that you not know how teenagers in the rest of the world are treated. Bottom line, they're not treated like babies and inmates. They're treated like full-grown human beings with dignity and rights. Lots of rights. But here in the USA, the MPAA has deemed my film too dangerous for you to see on your own. so I'd like to fix that. I'd like you to see my movie, and I'd like to help you sneak in to do it just this weekend. And of course, you know, it's probably out now. You can stream it, whatever. But I'm probably going to have a shitstorm rain down on me for doing this, and I don't care. Wrong is wrong.
You can count on it.
And it is wrong to not let you see this movie. The theaters, or the movie studios, or the censors may not like what I'm about to suggest, but they're going to have to deal with it. It's insulting to you as a 15 or 16-year-old that you can't handle the truth. What year is this? 1952? By now...
It's 1984.
Merciful circle, my head explodes.
I can't wait to show it to my students.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Where to Invade next. Michael finishes. He says, I promise you, it'll be one of the best movies you see this year. I'm so amazed at your generation. How aware you are of the world. How much...
Pandering.
Oh, a lot. Well, you know what? It's funny, because a lot of them are, okay? I know we give millennials a hard time, but a lot of them are. You know this too. I know we give them a hard time. I'm so amazed, right? How concerned you are for the future, how into the election this year that you are, and mostly how you're not a generation of haters. You don't hate people because of their color, of their skin, or that they're in love with someone of their same gender. You don't want this country to go to war. This is a huge shift from past generations, and I can already see that you're going to make this world a better place. And remember, after you see my movie, don't forget to go out and raise your voice. Disturb the status quo. Cause a ruckus. We need you.
A rumpf.
Well, what do you know? That's the show.
Let's put this bitch to bed, Scotty.
I don't think this was our worst show.
Parts of it were scary, but I think it was good.
I'll hold your hand for the rest if you need it. Remember the Holy Trinity. Think critically, feel deeply, ask questions. For what purpose, to what end, and at what cost? It might just save your life. And in honor of National Inventors Month, we'll be asking those very questions during our next show when we discuss artificial intelligence and virtual reality, a.k.a. AIVR.
I prefer natural intelligence and real reality, but I'll talk about it.
Yeah, you will. On the show. And remember, resistance is fertile.
Before we go, here are some words to live by.
The bomb was in his underwear. He was a crazy individual. Because any man in his right mind, no matter how committed to the cause, would question that one move.
For Sean Namini, this is Scott Mullins saying, when life gets you down, always remember to look at the upside, downtrodden.
Don't be scared, dears.